doing Koheles, we'll do a quick review. We'll start again from the first chapter, the 14th pasuk. Shlomo Amelech says, "Ra'iti et kol ha'maasim shenasu tach tashamesh v'ne'akol ve'lo'ut ruach." I look at everything that people do, and I see that everything seems to be finite. Nothing seems to be eternal, and nothing can really placate a person. At the end of the day, a person ends up being disappointed. Muvat lo yochal litkon v'chesron lo yochal limanot. And when things go wrong, sometimes you can't fix them. Sometimes there's a flood, there's a sandy. Yes, there's a superstorm that hits the east coast. You can't fix everything that's destroyed. V'chesron lo yochal limanot. And sometimes you're missing something and you don't have the capacity to fill what's missing. So if our actions and our accomplishments are supposed to make us happy, well, they're not within our control. We don't always have control over our material accomplishments. Dibalti ani im libi lemol. So I thought to myself, saying the following: Ani hineh igdalti ve'osafti chokhma al kol asher haya lefanai al Yerushalayim. I've attained more wisdom than my predecessors here in the city of wise men, Jerusalem. Ve'libi ra'a harbe chokhma v'da'at. And I've seen all kinds of wisdoms. I've seen all kinds of philosophies. Ve'etena libi l'da'at chokhma v'da'at olelot v'sichlut. So I said to myself, okay, I've seen everything that's come and gone. So I decided, let me understand what is the value of wisdom. Let me understand how far can a person get. What is the value of understanding? Let me understand what's wrong with foolishness, with boredom. Maybe it's good to lead a plain life. Yadati shegam zehu rayon ruach. But I understood that wisdom is something that is destructive to a person too. Even wisdom destroys a person's spirit. Ki berov chokhmah rov kahas. Because the more you know, the more there's room to be upset, because you realize where things are headed. You realize the vanity in life. You realize there's an end. You realize that you cannot beat the angel of death. You realize that you cannot conquer. You realize the destructiveness of things. So the more you know, the more there's reason to be upset. V'yosif da'at, yosif machov. And the more you understand, the more painful things are. Because once you understand where things are headed, so then it's more hurtful. You see right away. You not only experience the destruction when it comes, but you can foresee the destruction even before it comes. So yosif da'at, the more you know yosif machov, the more painful life is. So what am I to do, says Shlomo? Amarti ani belibi lechana anasecha b'simcha ha'urei v'tov. So I said to myself, okay, so let's experiment. Let's try focusing on being happy. Let's try focusing on doing things that are pleasant in life. V'inei gam hu havel. But I realize that if my focus is going to be on happiness alone, let me make myself happy, that's pointless. That has no real future. I said to myself, if I'm just going to laugh and spend my day in this empty happiness, so that's just boredom. What's the value in that? And if I'm looking for happiness, so what benefit is there in just being happy? That can't be a point in life. So I went back to the drawing board and I started thinking. And I said, let me find the correct path in life. Let me enjoy life. Let me have parties. Let me enjoy good food. And let me adopt all three paths at once. Let me enjoy life and at the same time learn Torah and be wise. And let me also enjoy all the amenities, the external amenities of life. Let me have beautiful buildings. Let me hear beautiful concerts. Let me live up life in every angle I could, plus maintain the wisdom of life, the Torah of life. Ad asher ereh, till I can discover, as I'll hold on to all of them, I will be able to find maybe the correct philosophy in life. Let me discover, people have such a short life. Let me try to experiment so I could find what the correct philosophy for life is. So I can tell people how to live life to its fullest. Yeah.
So he's taking these three different ways of living life. He's going to figure out which one's the best.
He's going to adopt all three at the same time. And working with all three, he's going to try and find, okay, so what's the correct path in life?
So is he considering maybe like learning that one of them or two of them is like
right.
So is he considering going out for?
We'll see. Let's see. It's a good question. Let's see. He's looking for the balance with the three. He's saying, I understand these are three components. I'm not sure he's looking at which one I should throw out the window as much as, well, how much stress should I put on each?
Okay.
So there's the amenities of eating and drinking and leading a gluttonous life. There's the wisdom, the joy of wisdom of Torah. And then there's the external joy of building towers, having good music. Higdalti ma'asai. So I put my focus on it. I said, okay, I'm going to do all three. And what did I do? Baniti li batim, natati li kiramim. I built myself castles. I planted orchards. Asiti li ganot ufardesim, natati vahem etz kol peri. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted every type of fruit tree. Asiti li berechot mayim. I made myself hearse castle. I made myself pools of water, lashkot meyem, yahot someach etzim, so that I'd have enough water to water all the great forests I planted. Kaniti avadim ushvachot uvnei vayit hayali. I bought slaves, I bought maids, I hired people, butlers, to be in charge of all the work that's going on in my house. Gam mikne vakav vatzon harbe hayalim mikol shayu lefanai birushalayim. I had more cattle and sheep than all my predecessors in Jerusalem. Kanasti li gam kesef v'zahav usgulat melachim v'hamedinot. I gathered for myself all the different types of treasures, gold and silver. I gathered for myself things that are cherished, things that are unique. Asiti li sharim v'sharot v'tanugot b'nei adam shida v'shidot. I made for myself every type of beautiful thing. I made beautiful chariots. I made for myself beautiful orchestras. I made for myself great male singers, female singers. All the different amenities and beautiful things man could have in life, I acquired. V'gadalti v'hosafti mikol shaya lefanai b'Yerushalayim. I was more extravagant than the greatest extravagance that Jerusalem had ever seen. Af chochmati amedali. And even as I was doing that, I focused on my learning. I maintained a steady regimen. I stayed on top of my Torah. I didn't forget it just because I was busy looking after life's amenities. V'chol asher shalu einai lo atzalti mehem. And anything my eyes desired, I didn't withhold from them. Lo manati et libi mikol simcha. I did not withhold any happiness from my heart. Ki libi sameach mikol amali v'zayach elki mikol amali. Because I was dealing with all of this. I'm working on it. And I said to myself, you know, when you're working to attain all of this, sometimes you get upset. Sometimes you get sad. But I said to myself, I'm going to be happier than the sadness I'm encountering now. Because look at what I'm going to attain. I'm looking for the greatest philosophy in life. I'm looking for the balanced direction that we're supposed to take within Torah. So Torah tells you mitzvos. Torah tells you live life. Okay, but what's the balance? Can I lead a Torah lifestyle and enjoy good meat and wine and build towers and have all the extravagance in the world? So I said to myself, all the work I'm going through is nothing. I said to myself, that's what the pasuk says, Lo manati et libi mikol simcha, ki libi sameach mikol amali. The happiness in my heart was greater than the sadness of the toil. V'zayach chelki mikol amali. And he says, I worked really hard, but I focused on the happiness. I got rid of all the sadness that was on the root, and I wasn't worried about that. I was very focused on being happy. So I said, yeah, there are moments that aren't great, but I'm achieving. And Zayachelki, that was my focus on the happy moments as I was accomplishing. So I was happy-go-lucky accomplishing building towers, castles, ponds, forests, orchards, enjoying the meat, enjoying the good life, and learning Torah. Ufaniti ani. So I did all of that. And then I paused and looked back. Bechol ma'asai she'asuhu yadai. At everything I'd accomplished. Uva'amal she'amalti la'asot. And at all the work, look at what I did. V'ine hakol hevel. U'ut ruach. I thought to myself, what was I looking for? I was looking for something that would connect me to eternity. Now I look back and I say, nothing eternal is going to last from this. I enjoyed it on the moment, but in the long run, I didn't accomplish anything.
Why does it have to last? Why does it have to be eternal?
What?
Why does it have to be eternal or last?
So that we discussed in the first chapter, that that's the beginning of the book, where Shlomo says his great challenge is that life, we described it as the challenge to overcome the angel of death, as having meaning in life. If you're going to live on this planet, so you want some meaning, you want something that's going to last. Ve'ein yitron tachat hashamesh. He says, I worked, but at the end of the day, when I look at this world, and I ask myself, what's going to remain from all this in this world? I can't imagine that anything I did here is really going to last long term. So now there's a Hearst Castle, there's a Trump Towers, there's a Shlomo's Castle. Long term, what's going to remain from all this? Yeah?
What is the word that he uses for vain?
Hevel.
Hevel?
I didn't say vain. I didn't say the word vain.
What's...
I said it's not eternal. Yes.
And is he referring to all the three things he's applying, or just the things he's said
before? He's saying this formula is not what's going to get me to eternity. Working with these three together. So he's looking for the formula. You're saying, what about the Torah he accomplished? Good question. It's a good question.
Because it seems like you're saying nothing that you did is going to last.
Right?
Not like this mixture isn't.
Correct. Correct. I agree. I agree. Let's hear him out. Ufaniti ani lirot chokhmah volelot v'sichlut. So I said to myself, fine, this isn't the root. Let's focus on wisdom and holelot and boredom and sichlut and foolishness. Let's try to lead a life that does both. So I'm going to work hard and then I'm going to rest. In our terminology today, I'm going to have my work day, and then I'm going to zone out in front of the TV. I'm going to, let's lead that kind of balanced life. Okay, if this isn't the balanced life, so then that is. Notice how Shlomo never lets go of the Torah. He says, okay, I'm going to do Torah with these. No, that's not it. Okay, let me try doing Torah with this. Next angle. Ufaniti ani lirot chokhma. Let me try to have wisdom, volelot v'sichlut, but also to have a good time, to take time off. If trying to build and be productive in the material world doesn't get me anywhere, that's not going to bring me to eternity. Well, what would happen if I just had more easy time? Yeah.
Seems like his understanding of Torah is that he's compartmentalizing.
Let's see. Let's hear him out. Ki meha adam. Sheyavo acharei hamelech, heit asher kevar asuhu. He says, why did God give you a television? Why did God create the internet? Obviously, God wants you to waste some time in your life, no? God created a waste of time, right? God created foolish things. You guys are laughing, but how many times did people tell you these lines? Don't you think you're supposed to enjoy a little bit of doing nothing? Just take a break. You don't have to always be productive. Just zone out a little bit. So, Shlomo HaMelech says, Ki me adam shiavo achei HaMelech. Who dares come question after the king? Et asher kvar asu, things that were already created in the world. God created the capacity to go and just be bored and do foolish things and just waste your time. So maybe that's what I should do. Have this balance between Torah and have this break. V'ra'iti ani sheyesh yitron la'chokhmah min ha'sichlut. So, Shlomo Amel says, but I understood that really logic dictates that waste of time is just that. It's a waste of time. And if you value wisdom, it's because wisdom is better than foolishness. So obviously you have foolishness to be compared to wisdom. But so yes, God created something that's antithetical to wisdom. And I understand kitron ha'o min ha'choshech, that light is appreciated because you have a concept of darkness. If life were only about light, you don't appreciate darkness. How often do you guys think about your capacity to breathe? How often? We don't think about it until suddenly there's a problem, you can't breathe, and suddenly you're thinking about breath. So Shlomo Amel says, I thought to myself, no, there is an advantage to wisdom than wasting your time and doing foolish things. It's like light from darkness. You want to understand wisdom? You want to understand how light is better than darkness? So the wise man, now this pasuk has multiple levels of interpretation. We'll go with what I think is the simplest one. You guys have to know Rashi's interpretation. Let's start again. Hechacham einav b'rosho literally means the wise man has eyes in his head. V'aksil b'choshech olech, and the fool walks in darkness. So Rashi interprets the verse to mean hechacham einav b'rosho, the wise man, his eyes are in his head. That means not rosho doesn't mean his head, but a head. The wise man uses his eyes ahead of time. He thinks, where is this going to lead me? Hechacham Einav b'rosho. His eyes take a look at the beginning. Not rosho, his head, but at the head, at the beginning of a path. He thinks, where's this path going to lead me? That's Rashi's understanding. The simple reading, though, is that the wise man understands that his eyes were placed in his head, somewhere high in his head. Why are we given eyes at the top of our body? And why don't we have eyes in our stomach or by our feet? Because you're supposed to look out to a distance. So a person has to think, okay, I was given the capacity to look and see what's coming my way, so I should use that. But the fool, he doesn't look to a distance. He's walking and he's listening to his iPhone, his iPad. He's not focused. I don't know if you guys ever had this experience, but I've seen it a few times. It's hard not to laugh, where someone's yelling into their phone and they walk, boom, into a pole. You guys ever see that? You never saw that? This person's so focused and he's walking and yelling and you see. Okay, so we were granted the capacity to look ahead, and sometimes people don't take advantage of that. V'yadati gam ani shemikre echad yikret kulam. Shlomo HaMelech says, okay, so I realize the advantages of wisdom, but I still have to tell myself that the wise man, as wise as he is going to be buried 6 feet under, just like the fool. So it's very nice that he lived a wise life, but at the end of the day, what's the difference? They both decompose at the same rate. V'amalti ani b'libi. So I thought to myself, okay, so we all like thinking we're so smart and that's so good, but wait. K'mikre ha'kesil gam ani gikreini. I'm going to end up just like him. We're both going to rot together in the grave. So if we all hit the same end point, so what's my wisdom worth so much? So during that short time span of life, I led a wise life. So what? And that's the great question Shlomo began with. He says, where does that leave me though? The majority of world history, I either wasn't yet in the world, or I'm 6 feet under decomposing in the world, or I'm a bunch of bones. What difference does it make? Or using the metaphor we used last time, how am I any different than that cockroach that crawls across your table and you go whack and it's finished? So I had a little bit longer before God went whack and I'm finished. What's the difference? So I thought about it and I said, okay, so I take pride. I'm wise. I can avoid the pitfalls in life. I think about where I'm headed. But at the end of the day, don't we end up in the same place?
Let me make an interjection. I was just noticing how he doesn't seem to be any knowledge of Gehenna.
Thank you.
Or reincarnation.
Thank you. Thank you. Right? Shlomo Melech. Where's there a world to come, right? Is there a soul after death? Shlomo's not discussing that at this point. But, as we said, stay tuned. We got to hear him out. He is developing thought. V'dibarti v'libi shegam zeh havel. And then I said to myself, but you know what? This thought that I'm thinking now, that at the end nothing's going to come of either one of us, that thought too is finite. It's also going to fly from the world. Even this thought, oh, now I'm being so smart, I'm realizing that we're both going to be 6 feet under. That thought, that's wrong. That's also not eternal. Ki ein zichon lechacham imakesi leolam. He says, that's not true. What I just said, that we're both like the cockroach, because it's not true. How are they both remembered? You guys know about Yankel the Klutz, who was King Solomon's neighbor. He had a hut next to him. He was a total fool. He'd leave his buckets of water out overnight. They'd freeze, and then he'd have a hard time, and he'd have to spend time chiseling out the water because he was so stupid the night before. He never learned his lesson, chiseling out the water. You guys never heard of him?
No.
Right. No one heard of him because we don't know if he existed or didn't exist. That's what Shlomo says. Ein zichon nechachami maksil olam. No one remembers the fool. I have Ecclesiastes. I'm still here. We're still talking Shlomo. What do you mean I'm like him? No one knows about him. Long down the road, you don't remember the fool like you remember the wise man. When at the end of the day, a wise man can leave his mark in the world, and the way he's remembered is different than the fool. We all know about Einstein, we know about Aristotle, we know about Plato, Lavda, we know about Moshe Rabbeinu, Yoshua. There are people who left their marks on the world. Beshekevar hayamim abaim akol nishkach ve'eich yamut echacham im akesil. He says, even though time is going to pass, they're both going to die, is everything forgotten? Is this whole world so vain? It's not true. People still remember, and they are remembered differently. Ve'eich yamut echacham im aksil. So how can you compare the death of the wise man with the fool? What was I talking about a minute ago? It's not true. They do leave a different mark on the world. Ve'saneiti et ha'chayim. And I hated life. I don't know how many of you have a good Hebrew, but I put out a Parsha newsletter every Shabbos in Hebrew so far. So people have questions that they ask, and we have questions and answers there. So last week someone asked, why do we say, and I didn't remember who asked it, I apologize, it wasn't someone from here, I don't think. I usually attribute the question to the person who asked. I don't remember who asked it. Why do we say Shechiyonu in plural sense? Shechiyonu, if a person bought a car that he and his wife are going to use, so then, being that it benefits two people, he does not make a Shechiyonu. He makes a blessing. Hatov v'ameitiv. God is good and does good unto others too. He isn't only good to me, he's also good to someone else, because me and my wife are going to benefit from this new car. But if he's a bachelor and he's the only one that's going to use his car, so he bought a new car, he makes a blessing of a Shechiyonu. So if the Shechiyonu is focused on me, God did something good to me, so then this person asked, then why is Shechiyonu said in the plural sense? Shechiyonu, he gave us life. Ikiyimonu, v'igiyonu, he brought all of us. If I'm talking about the good that God did to me, so then why is the blessing in a plural sense? So I quoted him in the answer. It's not my idea. There are a few commentaries that say this idea, that our sages instituted this blessing in the plural sense because sometimes a guy buys a new car and he's using it to get oncology treatment. He's going to get radiation on his pancreas. He knows he has about a month left to live and he's suffering through that month. And you ask him, you want to live? He says, no. You like life? No, I hate it. Oh, go make a shechiyanu. Go thank God for the life you have now. So our sages recognize that sometimes a person's life is so bad that if you'd ask him, he'd say, I don't want to live. Shlomo Melech is about to say that sentence. I hate life, Shlomo says. Eov, Job says, I hate life. I wish I were never born. So go tell him to make a blessing of shechiyanu. So our sages, out of understanding that sometimes you don't want to make a blessing thanking God for the life he gave you. So they said, right, but you have to thank God for life at large. Even if right now you're not so happy about your life, but you do recognize that life is a blessing in general. So the blessing of Shechiyonu was compiled specifically in the plural sense out of sensitivity to those people who would have it hard to thank for their own life. So we say Shechiyonu as part of the general life. I thank God for giving us life out of sensitivity for that individual. That's one understanding that's quoted. So Shlomo Melch is at that point in our pasuk. He says, V'saneiti t'chayim, I hate life. What am I still living for? I look around the world. I'm not so happy with what I see. Kira alai amase shenasa tachat hashamesh. Because when I look around the planet and I see what's going on, I don't like the world I see. Ki akol hevel u'utuach. I look around, and from what I can tell, I'm looking at a bunch of monkeys. What type of world am I looking at? People are focused on things that just, they're fleeting. Now, Shlomo's lamentation over here, you will find many philosophers lamenting. In the introduction to many of our ancient philosophical works, the Gaonim, the Rishonim, Maimonides, they say, look around you. Maimonides writes it in numerous places. No one's thinking. People just run through life and they're not thinking about what life is all about. So Shlomo HaMelech says, I look around me and I see people are in this rat race looking for things that do not have meaning long term. They don't have an impact on the world long term. And they end up hurting themselves because they're pursuing things that really will not have any meaning. And so people spend their lives in this frustrated rat race, never attaining what they want to attain. So I look at life around me and I hate life, says Shlomo HaMelech. He turns, and this is the great difficulty with the book of Koheles. Chazal say Shlomo HaMelech, so to speak, figuratively is wagging his finger at heavens. Shlomo HaMelech is saying, what'd you create this whole world for? Why? Seven times is first he introduces Koheles with Havel, Havalim, Hakol, Havel. He uses seven terms to describe 7 days of creation. God, I look at your world and I, you know, on the test they have a line, do not approve. That's Shlomo HaMelech's line. I look at the world and I say, do not approve. F, failure, don't like the world. So Shlomo's looking at the world, and this is written in this is canonized, this is part of the Tanakh. So what's the key to learning Koheles? Get to the end, right? Okay, it's a thought and process. This isn't his bottom line, but as he's thinking, he's saying, I don't understand. But as we discussed before, Shlomo is taking us on a beautiful journey, a journey of thought, a journey of experimentation. And as we explained earlier, that's because if he just gives us the bottom line, we wouldn't buy it. So he has to show us, you know, I was also bothered by a lot of things, and I took on different approaches to life, and I experimented, and I looked around, and I also went through my very, very frustrated moments. Moments where I was frustrated with all of life, moments when I was frustrated with all of humanity. V'saneiti t'chayim, so Shlomo says, I hated life. Ki ra alai amaseh, how evil is this, the world I look at, shenasa tachta shamesh, what kind of world did God create? Ki hakol hevel u'ruach ruach, everything I see around me is either pointless, or worse than that, it's also frustrating to humanity. They're pursuing things that will not give them long-term benefit. V'saneiti ani et kol amali she'ani amel tachat ha'shamesh. And I said to myself, now let's look back. What did I just do? And I hated all the time I invested amassing all the wealth under the sun. What's going to happen in the end? Who's going to take over the castles and the wealth and the jewelry and all the ponds and forests and orchards I built? Someone else. Umi yodeya hechacham yiyeo sachal. He says, if I knew my son were smart, okay. But do I know? Maybe my son's going to be a fool. V'yishlat b'chol amali she'amalti v'shechachamti tachat ha'shamesh. And he's going to take control of everything I worked for in this world? Gam zeh avel. So then, there's no continuum. If I knew that the one coming after me is going to be smart and the one coming after him is going to be smart, so theoretically, I started a dynasty that could be eternal, but it's not. I know that I have no control over who's going to take the throne here. V'saboti ani liyeshet libi. So, I tried to convince myself, don't worry about that. Don't hate life. V'saboti ani, I tried to convince myself, to turn myself around, liyeshet libi, so to speak, to give up on those thoughts. I tried to convince myself, you can't think about everything, you can't control everything, so don't get so upset about things that are beyond you. Al kole amal she'amalti tachat ha'shamesh. Because I did work hard. So I said to myself, I wasn't stupid with everything I did, was I? No, I'd rather say I wasn't. So let's not think about what's really going to happen. Ki yesh adam she'amalo b'chokhma uvdat u'v'chisharon. Sometimes you find a person who worked really hard, and he worked really honestly, and he worked smartly to amass the wealth that he amassed. So you'd think that the way the world should run is that he should hold on to that wealth till the day he dies, give it to his children, and they should enjoy it after him. But that's not always so. Sometimes a person can work really hard and really smart and really honest. And he can find that ul adam shelo hamalbo yitenenu chelko, he has to forfeit his rights illegitimately to someone who did not work hard to attain everything he has. Case in point, Madoff. How many people worked hard and honestly and their life savings? They were good people, kind people, charitable people. And then someone came along and illegitimately took the rug from under their feet. Shlomo Mel says, so I tell myself, I don't want to think about that, but wait, forget the future. What about the now? There are people around me now who worked diligently, honestly, attained wealth, and they're not going to give it over to their kids. So then it's not only the question I posed earlier, says Shlomo, about who's going to take over the throne in the future. Even now, everything you worked to amass, well, you don't know what's going to happen with it. Maybe someone else is going to take it from you illegitimately. And what's the glaring question here? What's Shlomo HaMelech asking? What's the question in other words? Where is, you know the song, Where is Pointer? Where is God? Shlomo HaMelech is saying, okay, so we have a world here, and when I look at this world, everything seems pointless. We're put down here for what purpose? If even if I work honestly, it's not only the question of who's going to take over after me, but even now, I don't have control. I have no guarantee it's going to stay with me till the day I die.
Gam ze hevel v'ra'a rabba.
So I said to myself, okay, that's bad. And that also makes things not eternal and pointless. So I have to worry about that. Ki mehovel adam bechol amalo uverayon libo. What good is it for a person to work and get up early in the morning and work diligently and hard? He thinks, he works, he toils. Shehu amel tachat hashamesh. He works hard under the sun. Ki chol yamav machovim. His whole life he's contending with pain. He has to deal with the mailman that doesn't come on time. He has to deal with his toothache. He has to deal with the worker. He has to deal with being fired. His life is filled with pain. And everything he has to deal with has an aspect where it's going to be upsetting. Gam balayla lo shachav libo. Most of life, you don't get what you want. I'll give you a small example. You go to the store, you try on a pair of pants. You're in a rush. It's exactly the pants you want. You come to the checkout counter, and you notice that one of the loops for the belt is torn. So you tell yourself, great, I caught it before I left. The seller goes to the shelf, brings you another one. So you say thanks, and you start asking yourself, should I try it on or not? I'm in a rush. You look at the loops, and you know the loops are all there. What do you usually do? You don't try it on until you get home, and then you try it on, or you put it on that day you need it for a meeting, and I thought he said it was the same size. If you look at life, you run to the bus stop, and you miss the bus. You make the bus, but there's no space on the bus. You make the bus, and there's space on the bus, but your kartisiyah doesn't work on the Rav-Kav thing. The Kartisiyah works on the Rav-Kav thing, but the inspector gets on the bus and says, I'm sorry, on my computer it doesn't register that you paid. Oh, you guys haven't had that experience yet. Wait. Yeah. There's a lot of nuisances in life. Says Shlomo HaMelech, Chol Yamav Machoviv. A person's life is... there's constant nuisance and pain contending with the difficulties of life. Vechas in yano. Life is about, you know, most of life is where you have those things that don't go the way you want. Gam balayla lo shachav libo. A guy comes home and he wants to get a good night's rest. When was the last time you went to sleep and there wasn't? Either. Your next door neighbor making noise. The roommate talking. A mosquito buzzing next to your ear. When was the last time you laid down in bed and everything was calm, serene, picture perfect, you go to sleep. Your stomach wasn't grumbling, your athlete's foot wasn't bothering you. No. Life has nuisances, says Shlomo HaMelech. Where is the perfect life? God, you created a world. What for? That's what's hiding behind the book of Koheles. He's saying, well, what are we supposed to do with this world? There's so much difficulty. Even when I go to sleep at night, if everything around me is calm, so then my mind's go wandering. My mind is thinking, how am I going to deal with tomorrow? And did I forget something today? And how am I going to deal with the challenges of tomorrow? His heart doesn't get rest at night. So Shlomo HaMelech says, so then actually having a pulse is a problem in this world. He says, life is a problem. It's not only the external challenges. It's not only if you're in the rat race. It's life. You're going to have to deal with nuisances.
Can you repeat what his question was when he says that he observes that the life is filled with nuisances? So
what are we supposed to accomplish here? If everything we're going to do, every path I'm exploring so far is pointless in the long run, and is filled with things that I don't have an answer for, why is it that a person can lead a just life and lose it? Someone dishonest could take it from him. So it's not like you could say, I have nothing to worry about. It's not my worry. Yes, it is your worry. You have to live in this world. And when you live in this world, you're going to have to contend with these hardships. And if you're not contending with the external hardships, you're going to contend with the internal hardships. And if you're not contending with the boss who's mean, you're going to contend with the wife that's upset at you. And if not the wife, then the child. And if not the child, then the neighbor. Says Shlomo HaMelech, everywhere you look, there are nuisances, there are problems. So I look at life, and I say, try to accomplish outside your house, you got problems. Try to accomplish inside your house, you got problems. Try to be alone, you got problems. So what's life? Gamze hevelu. Shlomo says, I look at your creation, God, and I say, okay, this is one big problem. Where's it all headed to? Yeah.
I was going to say, more than being a nuisance in the case of the people that lost their money to Madoff, it's not even where's God's, where's justice? These people did it honestly, they worked hard, they did it within the framework, assuming that's what happened, and then someone took it from them dishonestly. So where's
right.
justice in it? Not a nuisance.
Oh, that's what he said earlier. He said earlier he was talking about injustices. Now he's saying, even if you don't have to contend with the external injustices, live your own private life. Have a self-sufficient. You'll have your own garden. You'll have your own water. You'll have your own life. And theoretically, you won't be attacked. It's still not going to be peaceful. So now Shlomo says a pasuk, which is like a query. He says, "Ein tov ba'adam she'ochal v'shata." Is there something wrong with a person who lives his life and just eats and drinks? V'ra et nafsho tov ba'amalo. And he's not focused on his children. He says, let me enjoy life. Is there really something wrong with that? He does a little kindness. He enjoys what he's worked for. Gamzo ra'iti ani ki miyad Elohim hi. Shlomo HaMelech says, even though you think, yeah, you could lead a life like that, I understand that that's a gift from above. Ki miyad Elohim hi. And this pasuk is an island among the whirlwind, the sea that's around it. Meaning, all the other psukim until now were experimentation. And this pasuk, Shlomo HaMelech is turning to the reader and saying, isn't it a good thing? Can't you just do that? Have a simple life, eat, drink, enjoy, and invest in the world to come a little bit, you know, do some kindness. Vera et nafshotov bamalo. And also take care of yourself. In the long run, do kindness so that your soul will also have some good out of your work. Gamzo ra'iti ani, and even though most people can lead a life like that, but I see ki miyad ha'elokim hi, and the question is, what do those words mean? I came to the realization that this is a gift from God. So, I'm tempted to tell you a simple reading, but we'll stick to the interpretation we've been going with until now. Shlomo HaMelech says, look around. People don't lead life that way. So that means that attaining this conclusion, and to a certain degree, this is a type of conclusion Shlomo HaMelech has reached, that I don't have to be that overachiever. I don't have to spend my life like I myself, Shlomo says, like I thought. I don't have to pursue greatness and eternity. I have to pursue eat, drink, be merry, make merry, invest in your future, and that's enough. But that realization that that's enough is a gift from Hashem. Ki miyad Elokim hi. Because if you look around you, most of the world doesn't come to that conclusion. I met a fantastic philosopher in Tel Aviv. A relative of mine was visiting in Israel, and I went to meet them at the airport, and they asked me to come along for the ride. So I went with them, and we met this philosopher. So first we got totally lost in Tel Aviv. So he calls us up all upset and says, where are you? So we told him where we were. He says, stop your car. I said, what do you mean? Aren't you? Where are you? So he says, you're totally lost. You're very far from me. So I said, so then what are we stopping our car for? So he said, because I told you to stop your car, stop. Tell me the address where you are. So I said, okay, fine. He tells me, stop. He stopped. He says, wait where you are, I'm coming to. I said, you have a car? He said, no. So I said, then why don't you give me directions and I'll come to you? He says, no, because you see you're getting lost. I gave you directions. You got lost. Okay, wait where you are. Fine. You deal with the philosopher, you know. Go explain to him. You gave me directions. I didn't follow. So tell me how to get to you from here. No, I'm not telling you. So 3 minutes later, he shows up. He's on a bike. He doesn't have a car, but he has a bike. So, zoom, he comes through the traffic in Tel Aviv. He's on a bike. I never met the man before. He says, now follow me. You see the back, my seat over here? You keep your eyes on my seat. I'm driving. You follow me. Okay, fine. We follow him. We park. And we had a very interesting afternoon. The man never got married. The man doesn't own a car. And he's one of the, you know, he's a well-known philosopher, at least in Israeli circles. And as this relative of mine was talking to him, so everything, you know, every time something materialistic came up, it's, yeah, that doesn't interest me, that doesn't interest me. And I saw it. That's the way he leads his life. Marriage doesn't interest him, a car doesn't interest him, fancy apartment doesn't interest him, doesn't interest him. So it's a bit of a pity, he doesn't have kids, you know, he doesn't have a family, he doesn't have family life, but on some level, he has accomplished what Shlomo HaMelech said. He is living the dream, so to speak, because he doesn't spend his time chasing after things. He doesn't have to have a car. He doesn't have to work hard because he doesn't have to have a car. He decided he doesn't have to get married. I feel bad for him because he's missing out. You know, the story of Benjamin Disraeli. He was sitting once at a conference and there was a Christian monk sitting next to him and they're eating pork. So he has the plate of pork. So he says to him, Mr. Disraeli, have some pork. So Mr. Disraeli says, I can't, I'm Jewish. So the monk takes a forkful and he says, wow, what a pity, it's delicious. He takes a bite. At the end of the meal, Mr. Disraeli says to him, sir, please send regards to your wife. So the monk looks at him and says, I can't, I'm a monk, I don't have a wife. So Mr. Disraeli says, what a pity, it's delicious. This guy was missing out on something that's delicious, right? He was missing out on one of the greatest amenities of life, but he was living this. You know, he kept saying, you know, if it was interesting because there were the very big opposites, like the one man, they're sitting at the same table and this guy's sitting there in a t-shirt and jeans and the other guy's sitting in a suit and tie and, you know, all decked out and this guy's sweating from the bike ride he was on and this guy's smelling to all the different perfumes and colognes and everything he's wearing. And you see like two opposites, but they're both sitting philosophizing over the same table, only in Tel Aviv. But he was living this to an extent. Like he said, I don't need a car. I don't need a wife. I don't need a fancy house. So I don't need to work too hard. I could spend my time philosophizing. Okay, fine. He might have missed something, but Shlomo HaMelech says most people don't reach that conclusion.
He didn't feel he was missing.
He says he didn't feel he was missing. I don't know. What people say isn't always the truth. I don't know. He says he doesn't feel like he's missing anything. So Shlomo HaMelech says, but there is this balance of leading a life where you could be happy, eating, drinking, what you've worked for, and investing in the world to come, and realizing that that's the good life. But, what's the key here? To do it and appreciate that this is good. Sometimes we have it, but we think, I need more. I would be happier if I had more, which is what Shlomo HaMelech began with. He said, I want to see if I could be happier, if I could attain a greater wholeness. Now he's saying, wait, maybe there's nothing better than this, because this is pretty good. So here we've come to a pause. We've come to an island.
Can you explain what he says is pretty good?
He's saying leading a simple life. Not being materialistic, not trying to get to the perfect life, but having enough to eat, to drink, to have what you need, and don't, he says, don't save for the future. He says, that I already proved to you that that's not the point. To amass wealth, no. Focus on living up life in a normal, balanced way. Is there nothing better than that, he's asking? Is that really the best we can get? isn't it good? He's saying, on the one hand, maybe there isn't anything better. Enjoy your wealth. Don't look to attain greatest wealth. Don't look to save for the future. Do kindness with what you have. And then I came to the realization that to attain that plateau is a gift from God, because most people, you look around, most people are not there. They feel like they have to have a car, have all kinds of things that end up forcing them to work harder in order to attain more. And Be'ezrat Hashem, I posted the story of Van Vu out here a few months ago. I'll post it again. Be'ezrat Hashem, I'll see if I can find it still tonight. There's one more pasuk on this thought. Two more pasukim. And then we'll finish this thought. Shlomo Amel says, Ki mi yochal umi yachush chutz mimeni. Shlomo Amel says, I say it's a gift from God to come to this conclusion, because who should really enjoy my stuff other than me? Ki l'adam shetov lefanav natan chokhmah v'dat v'simcha. One of the gifts Hashem gives a person is that if he likes him, so then Hashem gives him the wisdom, the understanding, that he should take advantage of life to do kindness. Natan chokhmah, wisdom, v'dat, and knowledge to do good deeds in his life. V'simcha. And here Shlomo has come to one conclusion at the end of this chapter. And he says, what is simcha? Enjoy life. Don't focus on saving for the kids. Don't focus on attaining the greatest amount. Don't focus on getting the best. But enjoy. Accomplish that. Vilachote. But if someone's a sinner, nataninyan, then God gives him this attitude, this thought, lesof velichnos. He wants to get more. He wants to get more. But what's God's plan in it all? Latet litov lifnei ha'elohim. God's thinking, I'm going to take that person's wealth and pass it on as an inheritance or some other way to someone who I like. So here Hashem has Mr. A working really hard his whole life to amass great wealth. And Hashem's plan is, oh, I like Mr. B. After he's worked his whole life amassing this wealth, I'll give it to Mr. B. Says Shlomo HaMelech, Gam zehevel u'utruach. Shlomo HaMelech says, I don't like that. I know that's the way God runs the world. But wouldn't it have been better if the original person who worked so hard to make the money would do good with that money? God doesn't seem to run the world that way. Shlomo Amel says, God will sometimes have a person be greedy and miserly and accomplish, and then it's all with this great godly plan to give it to someone else who really deserves it. But Shlomo Amel says, I don't like that. Gam ze hevel urut ruach. So Shlomo Amel says, okay, I figured out a formula, I see a little bit of God's hand in it, and gee, I wonder if it, why couldn't it be a different way? To be continued, Be'ezrat Hashem.